It buckled and pitched me forward into the weeds and the mud. The last wisps of my shield vanished as I fell. My magic had failed me altogether. Parker laughed, a low and nasty sound. Nice trick. Got another? One more, I rasped, and fumbled at my jumpsuit's tool pouch. Parker walked slowly toward me, confident, relaxed, and moving like a man 30 years younger than he. My fingers were aching with cold, torn from the asphalt, numb from all the pain and scrapes and bruises, but the handle of my chief's special was easy enough to find. I drew it out, thumbed the back of the hammer, and pointed at Parker. His eyes widened and his weight settled back on his heels, not quite retreating, but not coming any closer either. From 3 feet away, even down in the mud, it would be tough to miss him, and he knew it. "I didn't pick you for the kind to carry a gun," he said. The rain was plastering his greasy hair down over his eyes. "Only on special occasions," I said back. I had to delay him. If I could only hold him in place just for a few minutes, the cops would show up. I had to believe they would, because if they didn't, I was dead meat. Maybe literally. "Stop where you are." He didn't. He took a step toward me. So I shot him. The gun roared, and the bullet smacked into his right kneecap. It exploded in a burst of blood and flying chips of bone, and the leg went out from under him, hurling him into the muddy ground. He blinked once, surprised, but the pain he must have been feeling didn't seem to register. He scooted back a couple of feet and stared at me for a second, reassessing me. Parker then drew his legs beneath him and, ignoring his ruined knee, hunkered down on his heels and rested his elbows on his thighs as if we were old friends, keeping his hands in plain sight. "You're tougher than you look. We tried to catch you at your apartment, you know," he said, as though I hadn't just shot him. "But the cops were all over it. Police band said you'd gotten arrested, but I guess you got away. We paid the jailer to let us know when they rounded you up." He grinned his snaggletooth grin and looked almost friendly. "Hell, kid, we were hanging around in a bar 2 blocks from the station for almost 2 days, just hoping to be there when you brought you up the steps. Drive by." He pointed his finger at me in a bang-bang motion and let his thumb fall forward. "Sorry to disappoint you," I mumbled. I was working hard not to give in to the shakes, the cold or the darkness. I knew he was up to something, but there was too much to deal with, too much injury, too much exhaustion, too much blood on my hands. Parker chuckled. "And instead, everything goes to hell at the station. Gunshots, explosions, sounds like a war inside, which is fun to watch. And then we see you stumbling out of the middle of it, right there in front of the cop station, with a cute little piece on either side of you helping you down the stairs. We just rolled out right after your ass." "I hope you're insured." Parker shrugged. "Truck wasn't mine." He plucked up a long blade of grass and traced it over the ruin of his knee, painting it red with his blood before crushing it up in his fingers. "Most of my people are out by the lake tonight. They gotta let off some steam during the full moon. Damn, but I want to take you right out there, in front of all of them. You got a real badass reputation, kid." "Can't have everything you want," I said. I blinked rain or blood from my eyes. Parker's smile widened. "You know, kid, I think there's something you don't know." In the distance, I could hear the sounds of sirens speeding down the freeway toward me. "Hot damn," I thought. "I finally did something right." "Oh, yeah?" I asked, daring to feel a satisfied thrill of victory. Parker nodded and looked off to one side. "There were 2 cars behind you." And something smashed down on my right hand, making it go numb and sending the gun to earth. I looked up and had the time to see another of the lycanthropes from the garage lift a lead pipe wrapped in an electrical tape and bring it down hard on me. The woman screamed and rushed toward me. She had steel-toed boots. Flatnose lumbered after her and was content to use the barrel of his pistol as a dumb club. Parker just sat there, squatting on his heels, and watched them. I could see his eyes. My blood spattered onto his cheek. I don't like thinking about what they did. They didn't want to kill me. They wanted to hurt me. And they were good at it. I couldn't fight. I couldn't even curl up into a ball. There wasn't that much spirit left in me. I could hear myself making choking sounds, gagging on my own blood, sobbing and retching in a pathetic agony. I would have screamed if I could have. You hear stories about men who keep silent through all the torture and agony that everyone inflicts on them, but I'm just not that strong. They broke me. At some point, the mind says, no more, and it gets the hell away from the pain. I started going there, to that away place, and I wasn't sorry to do it at all. I could dimly hear Parker shoving people off me once I stopped moving. He broke a few more of their bones, and they backed off with snarls of rage. He was walking on the leg again, already, though my shot must have torn the joint to pieces. At his orders, they picked me up and carried me to another car, just lugged me like a sack of broken parts. Duct tape went around my wrists and ankles and knees and elbows and mouth. Then they threw me into the trunk. Parker reached up to close the lid. I didn't have enough energy to move my eyes. I just stared out, letting them focus wherever they would. I saw a face behind the wheel of a car going past on the access road, just a sedan, something that would blend in with all the other cars in the city. The face was young, strained, sprinkled with freckles, and hair red, the ears big. Roger Harris, FBI, Denton's red-headed lackey. The sedan rolled by without even slowing, and Harris didn't look over at me, didn't break his surveillance. I wasn't the only one, it seemed, who was being followed that night. Parker slammed shut the trunk, leaving me in darkness. The car started going just as the sirens began to arrive at the access road. My captor's car bounced along and made a casual getaway, leaving me in an agony more thorough, sickening, and acute than any I'd felt before. And behind the gag, I started laughing. I couldn't help it. I laughed, and it sounded like I was choking on raw sewage. The pieces had fallen into place.